You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chevrolet. Right now, you can save up to $25,000 off the remaining Chevrolet sports cars. 2017 Corvette Z06 and 2017 and 18 Corvettes and Camaros. Only right now at LakewoodChev.com. Mike Greenley, analyst for the Minnesota Wild, former NHLer, joins us. And, you know, Mike, they built a very competitive team in Minnesota. And it's almost like, because to get a real difference maker for the most part, you probably got to draft that forward in the top five, usually, right? There's obviously a few exceptions. But so you have to be a bad team at some point. And really, under Chuck Fletcher, the Wild were never a bad team. And strange as that sounds, it was almost his demise because they never had a real superstar game breaker.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, what team wouldn't come right now and say, I'll definitely take whatever it is that has to be done to make the playoffs 6 years in a row, because that's what the Wild have done, and not very many teams have done that. There's only a couple other teams. So it's interesting, you know, what do you want? I mean, what does an organization want? Do they want to make the playoffs every year? Do they want to be really bad until they get two or three very good picks and then all of a sudden be a perennial favorite? You know, it's interesting how the ebb and flow of that will go. But yeah, I think Chuck's done a great job. I mean, he didn't really have a ton when he got here. And there wasn't a ton in the minors either. So I think he did a pretty good job of building a team that's pretty deep and pretty good. But, you know, there's always that X factor that you need, right? And so far they haven't found that.
Mike, you talk about how they're in pretty good shape. What are some areas that the next gym going to have to come in and maybe not improve, but just change for them to try to get a little bit deeper in the playoffs and have a little bit longer term success in April and May and June?
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, you ask yourself, is there a type of team that you build that is great in the regular season and then a different type of team that you build that's great in the playoffs? And how can you get a combination of both? Because we've seen before where there's teams that have done really well in the regular season that just for some reason just can't take the step in the playoffs. So, you know, I always think that if you can, and it's not exactly like there's guys like this, you know, laying around waiting to be picked up. I mean, but, you know, when you get a big, strong guys that can skate and score and play the game, even if they don't score, if they do other things, I mean, that to me is a pretty good combination. I mean, and it just tells me that when you go up against teams like they did last year with St. Louis, and then they, you know, go up against teams this year like Winnipeg that are big, strong, make it difficult for you to get to the net, make it difficult for you to skate, make it difficult for you to, you know, have speed in other areas of the ice. Maybe that's the type of team that eventually wins. I mean, yes, you do need the quick, dynamic scoring type players, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think the big, rugged guys that are nasty and that, you know, even if they're not big, but they just got that, you know, that pit bull kind of attitude when it comes to, you know, going for the puck or going to the net or doing anything. Though I think those are the types of players you need. I said, obviously they're not just sitting around waiting for someone to grab them because, you know, I think most teams would look for that. I think they're fairly decent up the middle. So, you know, obviously scoring wingers, big, strong power forward wingers, I think it would be something that they would definitely be looking for. I think their defense has got some decent depth. But again, you know, you can always use a big, strong guy who can move the puck.
Mike Greenley joins us. And Mike, you know, you look at the roster, the only UFAs they have, like Matt Collin at his age, I think it's probably safe to say that he's going to move on. And other than that, you know, their goalies are there. They've got a few RFAs, Matt Dumba, of course, being the main one. You know, Jason Zucker, I guess, is somebody who needs a contract as well. But the GM will come in, and a lot of GMs, like, are you expecting a possible significant deal potentially with the Wild? Is that what we're probably going to see from this new team? Because if they bring back the same thing, then they're basically going to be the same team, a competitive team that probably can't win.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's, you know, every GM is going to put his own stamp on the team, but it's almost as if, and that's a good point that you made, because it's almost as if someone has to come in here and do something. Because if you come in here and just keep status quo, then, you know, you could have kept Chuck, to, you know, if that's what you thought Chuck was doing. Chuck Fletcher, if you thought that that's all he was providing was status quo, then you could have just kept him. But whoever comes in here, I think, is going to have to make a couple of significant moves. And the only way you make significant moves is to spend a lot of money in free agency, which I don't think they want to do, or make some trades. And, you know, you either trade picks or you trade players. And so the Wild will have to probably take a look and make a couple of bold moves from a trade perspective. You know, I mean, I guess everyone has a crack at the draft to pull a diamond in the rough out of the second or third or fourth round. But, I mean, that's not easy. So I think that what they're going to have to do is make some bold moves. And maybe some of those bold moves are not just going to be prospects. Some of those bold moves are going to have to be players that are currently in the roster, and see what you can get back. And I'm sure that they'll assess what type of player they want. And so they'll likely look at what they can move to get those types of players. But I agree with you. It's got to be a bold move. It can't just be come in and do status quo kind of trades or moves.
Last one for you, Mike. Greenlee, the Minnesota Wild analyst, talking about the Wild who made a change or released their general manager. Would a bold move be moving away Joel Eriksson Ek near pinning the 20th pick overall just a couple of years ago?
That, of course, would be, yeah. But I'm not sure. I think he might still be too fresh in the process for them. Okay. I mean, right now, of course, you're going to have guys, like I said, whoever they hire as a general manager is going to have his, you know, view on certain things. But I don't know if they're going to look at getting rid of guys like Cunnan or Eriksson Ek or some of the young prospects. I mean, Greenway just played his first NHL games at the end of the year and into the playoffs. I mean, I think what they're going to, you know, you probably end up doing is looking to move guys that have more significant value in terms of established NHLers, and maybe guys like, you know, maybe guys like Niederreiter or Coyle or, you know, even Zucker, like those types of guys. I'm not saying that those guys are on the block, but I'm just saying it's going to have to be those type of established significant guys in order to get back something that you might think you need in a certain area. Yes, of course, when you move prospects, or when I say young talented players, you're going to get good return. But I don't know if they're looking to move guys like that this quick. We'll have to see what the new general manager thinks.
Quickly, any names you're hearing early on as candidates? Do you think they will go with a guy with a lot of experience, or would they potentially promote an assistant GM and give him his first opportunity?
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, we've heard the name Paul Fenton passed around. He's been with Nashville forever as an assistant GM. And of course, you know, I mean, he's a guy whose name's kind of come up early here, but there's a lot of very good assistant general managers in the league. And I think that, you know, I would guess that they would probably lean more on a guy like that, that has had a good run with a very good general manager and then is ready to take the step to be a full-time general manager. That's the type of, I think, that they would go for, because that type of guy is would come in with some good ideas and good experience, and he wouldn't be rehashing someone, you know, that's had a track record necessarily. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go. There's a lot of, like I said, you run down the list. There's a lot of good assistant general managers in the National Hockey League right now that may be ready to take that step. And I think, it could be a guy like that.
Really appreciate your time, Mike, as always. Thanks. It'll be an interesting story to watch. One of the few management positions open right now in the league, and we'll see if other teams follow suit. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Take care, guys.